Hey there.
Hello, Leticia. Hello, San Bernardino.
Hey. So, last night we had a council meeting, and there are several things to
Is that
talk
what this was
about.
last night? Was that
And
I just saw myself standing in a lobby with a bunch of people pretending contracting the coronavirus.
yeah. It's possible because we were all in very close proximity. There was no way for the public to exercise the social distancing in the setup that they had for the residents of the city,
Oh
not for
yeah, they were
themselves.
fully protected.
They were protected. Yeah. And when I was in there, because the only way that you could actually go into the council area is if you had a comment. And so I made a public comment and I noticed that there was a whole bunch of empty chairs that said, you can sit here. And they could have easily accommodated most of the people in the lobby, but they just chose to
Right.
totally
And
put
then
us at
say it was
risk.
because of the orders that came down. And I'm like, look, first of all, just the audio setup, the remote, you couldn't hear anything. It was so bad. You would think, since this has been going on for 3 weeks, that they would have tested how to do remote meetings or the sound system. But no, they started at noon that day and had people trying to figure out how to do it. The mayor, of course, didn't show up because, why would you? You're the leader of the city. And it's just, and you have eight staff members. Like, normally, just on a regular meeting, you never have more than eight staff members there. So it was just, I think it's just really telling. It's, how they feel about the city, how they feel about preparing us. And I'm going to point this out that Terry Ladeau, the city manager, lives in the city of Redlands. And if any of you have had the opportunity to see the outreach of the council, the city manager, and the mayor, I wish she would get the city of San Bernardino the type of attention that she's getting as a resident of the city of Redlands.
And they actually exercised the social distancing, and they set up their council meeting so that the public could sit apart from each other in their chamber. And again, that could have easily been achieved by our city council last night. It's so ridiculous how incompetent about every single thing that these people actually are, because it did not take a whole bunch of you don't need an architectural degree to figure out where to put people. And it could have been like, so now I'm at risk. If I get sick, I'm suing the city because
I get in
their
line.
fault. I'm like, oh my God. And then I am hard of hearing. And so when you put something out there without access to a way to properly hear, because the little tiny speaker was so, I don't know if they got it at the 99 cent store or I don't know what, but you could not hear unless you were
No,
standing
that
directly
meeting
in
was
front of
straight
it.
out of like 1990. Like, it was so beta. You're using a laptop, and the laptop we had to speak into looked like the first edition Dell that ever came out.
I think I had a ThinkPad like that back
Just
in like
it was just
89.
it wasn't okay. And that's the thing, is we're worth more. We deserve so much more than what we get from these supposed leaders that are in place. And like I told them last night, if this is just any indication of how things are going to go, my God, like, what are our chances here? And we don't even have a case in the city. So I wanted to point that out because I posted the pictures and I didn't understand what I was saying. But it's just, I value the people that I live next to that come here. If they're, we have people that are handy capable and need extra seating, and there was none available. There wasn't chairs. There wasn't hand sanitizer. There wasn't anything. It was like,
That's true. They did absolutely no extra
no.
precaution
And
at all.
that's just
Nothing.
reflective of their attitude. So, okay. Now we get into the what happened and the public comments, and I was.
First of all, let me just say, they did pull the item where Ricky where the mayor was going to retaliate against Ricky Van Johnson because he supported Kimberly Calvin, which, by the way, I meant to say this at the council meeting last night, but congratulations to Kim Calvin for winning that seat outright and not having to go to November. However, she is going to have to wait until the certification in December to be sworn in. And Basine last night looking like she just got off the Hot Mess Express. And what did you say,
She looked
Treasurer?
like she
She's looking
just
like
lost an
what?
election.
Woo woo!
You know what?
Congratulations to
She's
Kim.
going to remain in step with the mayor. We saw it last night. She has no integrity.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, hey,
None. I am so glad she's
the
done.
Sixth
I'm
Ward
so glad.
deserves so
Thank
much
you,
better.
universe, karma. So big shout out to Ricky and to Kim for the time being anyway. It looks like that's been pulled and is
And
not gonna
Mayor
happen.
Judith Baez, former mayor, for speaking out publicly and saying she will not be used as a pawn to help Valdivias do anything. And that I appreciate because if you are with John right now, then I do not believe you have any type of redeeming character or integrity for what, because we've seen enough. Like, so if you want to go be Team John, cool. But don't expect anybody to think that you're this great person who's just trying to help out, because that's not at all his agenda. And I'm so glad that she made a point to say that, like, hey, I'm not a part of this, and I won't be a part of it.
Yeah, good for her. Totally. And that's just it. You said, from my perspective, anyone at this point who was supporting John and is still, wanting to, like, what did he say last night? We need to be unified. Seriously, if you're unifying on that team, you are persona non grata to me. Like, that means you too are equally a piece of shit because you cannot support the things that this mayor is doing and still think that you are a good and decent person. You are not. Bottom line, you are not. So let's not pretend. So on the agenda, there were a couple of issues. Let's talk really quick about the moratorium because that was actually one of the good things that came from last night. So not to say that we don't ever have anything good to say. So let's give kudos where we can give kudos. So talk about that,
So
Treasurer.
this came out, as you guys know, with people being put off work and just everything happening. The city moved forward, brought forward by Council Member Jim Mulda-Hill, to put a moratorium on any evictions or foreclosures right now for city residents. And that was a big worry. The night before, all these community groups had been reaching out to talk to the mayor. He gave them 5 minutes and hung up and was and just didn't have any interest. So they rallied and they came to be a part of this. And Jim move forward. It was unanimous, which I think is awesome of each council member to understand the needs. So as a resident, just so you guys know, this they did take action that if you are going to struggle and have any really financial issues, you're not going to be kicked out of your house. So or apartment or home. Big thing. I think it's just I'm so glad to hear that because so many residents are worried.
Totally. Because, I mean, we saw what happens from just one complex where we had mass evictions and the chaos it created for, so many families. Imagine if we had, a citywide, issue with hundreds of evictions happening over the fact that parents have now are now losing work hours because children are no longer in school. Probably for the rest of the school year, and without being able to take them to daycare, like parents don't have a choice. They have to stay with their children because we're all kind of isolated in our own homes. So having that, not to have to worry about that, is really an awesome thing. I know that a lot of people can, can rest easier now because of that. So I do appreciate and thank the council for that
Right. And
action.
especially with PAMA management that runs rampant in our city and how many people they could care less. I mean, we've seen that. So I think this is really helpful for that situation. And if you guys own your homes, one thing that I know from, banking experience is that your bank doesn't want to foreclose on you like they in this time. So please be proactive. Call them if you have that situation. Talk to them. They'll do partial payments. They'll work with you if you reach out early. So that's something that I want our residents to know.
And I believe that the governor has also signed an executive order that mortgages and creditors are also on hold. So there's a lot of help coming either from the state, from the city, and the county is doing what they can. Everyone's kind of like really actually working together to try to make this, you know, easy. There are, you know, Southern California Edison is working with
the
folks,
city water department,
Spectrum, and other Wi-Fi places. So there's a lot of companies, utility companies, that are working with people. So that's a good thing. And you know, and again, finally, the council does something good for the residents. Now, people who are landlords, and you said, you know, PAMA management, and the thing is that they might still try to, because they're so uncouth and they're so awful, that they might still try to mess with people. But here's the good news. Aside from having this moratorium that the city just passed last night, and aside from the county and the state also offering moratoriums, the county courthouse is closed until further notice. So even if they wanted to evict people, they don't have access to do so. So there's that.
Very good. And you know, they're also working on a package to help the owners of the apartment buildings to restore their values. So there's just a lot going on in a very short amount of time. These are unprecedented things. And I want to tie this into something, because people are saying, and it's true, this has never happened before. We have to put all these measures in. Look what, you know, possible stimulus tax. And you know, out of the Great Depression, you got Social Security, you got a Medicaid for the old. And I want to parallel it back to the local level, because what a lot of the things we're seeing as far as the mayor and the censure policies, there's a lot of uncharted territory as far as accountability in the face of the unknown. And we need to be doing that same thing here. We need to put the provisions in place so that if this were ever to happen, or whatever the outcome is, we have a policy and procedure for how to proceed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is life imitating bigger life, imitating the universe, as far as how we can always use the world around us as a map for what we need to do as residents, and making sure that we are prepared for whatever's in our path at our city level. So just want to put that out there.
Yeah, totally true. Thanks for that. And the other things on the agenda last night, first of all, in a rare move by me, I actually showed up to a council meeting and spoke, gave them what I thought I needed to say. And, you know, a lot of times I can't get out there because I have two teenagers, and, you know, I'm like Uber mom. I'm like always like driving back and forth, and they have different schedules, and, you know, there's dinner and stuff. So I'm not always able to go, but because everything is shut down, I actually had some time to go. So I was glad to go last night. It was just a shame that it was, you know, so messed up the way they had it. But I did speak to the fact that there's new allegations against the mayor that are really like hideous and just straight nasty, right? So you want to talk about what that is? Because, you know, I don't want to be vulgar.
Well, one, congratulations on giving a 3-minute comment with no curse words.
Thank you. Very proud of you for that. It was not easy.
Well, yesterday morning, a new press release came out stating that evidence has been produced that the mayor, there's a video of the mayor calling the homeless in our city scumbags, that there are messages sent between him and a staffer directing not to help a resident that the mayor knew didn't vote for him in the election. And then apparently an eyewitness account by the staffer who drove the mayor around with an unknown woman while the mayor and her engaged in sexual activities.
Yep.
There you go. And it's, you know, one of the questions people ask, and I kind of, you know, I wish I had all the evidence in front of me as well, but we don't. I mean, we've had a lot of receipts on a lot of things, but these press releases are to keep the public informed that this is evidence that we have, or that, you know, that the lawyer's office has and all this stuff. And they're trying to tell the city, this is all the stuff we have. You need to take these claims seriously and settle them, because we're going to go to trial and expose all this stuff. And we as residents, that's, unless we know our city is going to win and recoup some of the money that they put out, we don't want this stuff to go to trial, you guys. That's, we saw with Gigi and Gary, all they said was, don't cut our salaries, we're being retaliated against. And they did it anyways. And that $52,000 bogus savings that they claimed, Henry Nickel claimed, has now turned into a multi-million dollar lawsuit. Between the attorney fees, between the paybacks, between, you know, they reallocated $1.4 million into the, like, for what? And so watching and hearing this stuff, yeah, I want to see the video. You know, I mean, it's not illegal to say stuff, but, you know, it just...
But here's the thing about that also. This is not like a random person who is putting out a press release. This is a law firm who knows and understands the laws governing slander and defamation of character, and who is not going to post anything that they have not absolutely verified and feel 1000% confident that this shit happened. They're not going to do that. They're not going to put their entire licensure and business at risk. It's just not going to happen. And so to anybody who's like, well, you know, we don't have any proof, that should be your proof right there.
Yeah.
An attorney, a law firm, is putting this information out. Not some random person. Yeah. So, yeah, we do have every single receipt and every single video. No, but do we know that they exist? Absolutely. And have we seen and heard some of it? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We can't share everything because there's investigations going on and because people trust us. But before we say anything, we ask people, give us receipts. And trust me, people come at us all the time with, oh, well, I got this and I got that and I got this. Okay, show me the receipt. I need to see proof of that conversation. I need to see something. Give me a screenshot, something. Right. And, you know, so we don't put everything out there that we know in here.
No. And that's why when we put something out, we feel comfortable with it. So hearing this and hearing there's this, you know, this sexual, which, I mean, look, when you're a staffer to somebody and this stuff's happening and this guy's in the back cheating on his wife, which, you know, has been multiple reports, and the drinking, and maybe that's why the staffer is driving, because he's I mean, you, like, imagine being that employee, because you know, it's very intimidating, and that's something that's been repeated from, you know, the people.
It's just disgusting. Yeah, I mean, it's just, he's such a damn degenerate. And you know, it was everything that I had in me not to go up there and say what I really wanted to say, which is, you guys are allowing this mayor to continue on city time and dime to drive around the city getting his dick sucked, and you're okay with that. But I didn't. I didn't say that.
I'm proud of you. Well, and you know what?
But that's the reality of what's happening. That's what these people are allowing. And no one's doing anything. So my call to action for them was, somebody needs to grow a pair of balls and somebody needs to hold them accountable. I don't care. Even if it's the slightest of things, like producing a resolution to say, We have no confidence in you as mayor, and we call for your resignation, even though we know that his smug ass is not going to resign anytime soon. Doesn't matter. I need to hear them say that they know he needs to
We know
to
that's
go.
Not going to happen because they literally, his four, helped him retaliate against those employees who came out in the newspaper saying that they told the city manager he was going to retaliate against them and their jobs. So, I mean, I know we're jumping ahead of the thing, but I don't have any faith in Teddy, Juan, Bacine, or Henry. I mean, Henry switched his vote. Teddy changed his...
Okay, let's back up because we need to talk about that whole item, whatever the item number was for John's staff.
I think it was, yeah.
Okay, let's go back. First of all, let's tell our listeners what you're referring to.
Okay, so on the agenda, it was to discuss the staffing of the mayor's office, to get an update on where everybody was and what everybody was doing. And they told what was vacant, what was filled, which the only really position, there's an executive assistant that's filled, the chief of staff, and a part-time legislative rep, which are Don Smith, Matt Brown, and
the others that are no longer there.
Teddy made a motion saying that he wanted to transfer the positions and the budget of the mayor's staff to the city manager's office.
Right.
And then Fred made a substitute motion that said, well, I want to leave the staff under the umbrella of the mayor's office, but implement a charter, I think section 502, where we can make the city manager the executive of the staff so that Matt Brown and Don Smith will report to her as far as daily operations, but that their direction will come from the mayor to the city manager. And then in the next budget cycle, we'll look at staffing and the budget. We're not going to do anything, but just make sure that they answer to the city manager.
That's right.
Then
now, and I just want to interrupt really quickly that both of those motions were shitty motions, because really what you really could have done is just simply say, we're leaving everything as is, but we're barring employees from being on the same floor with the mayor, like they currently are doing. Because that would have been the best way to preserve the integrity of the investigation and keep the employees there. Because now, I'll finish with my comment, but finish what you were saying. But that's what really could have and should have happened. Go ahead.
First, then Sandra Ibarra jumps in and says, I have a substitute to the substitute. I think we should eliminate the unfilled positions and leave the two that are there, or the three. Mm-hmm. Nobody replied. She didn't provide any additional conversation. Nobody asked her any questions. It kind of just moved on. Then they're going back and forth, and halfway through, the mayor decides that he's going to rewrite the charter in front of everybody and read the section of the 502 saying that, no, actually, the mayor and council can take departments away from the city manager. She doesn't get to oversee these things. Bullshit, you guys. Right there, you saw exactly what John Valdivia's total agenda is to put the way he wants the city to be.
Right.
In the charter.
And he is on the record as trying to reword the charter to fit his agenda. Literally lying. And like, I don't know if he went through the charter and just like changed words on it to like, hey, this is what I wanted to say versus what it really says. But
he just went off the top of his head. And you know what? Fred jumped in, but the city attorney, the city manager, nobody said, not another person said that's not right. Only Fred said that. And I look at the whole, these seven people are equally responsible, right? Everybody's got one vote. They all kept their mouth shut.
And so my biggest problem with all of that, the way it went down, is we know that the city pays way more than like what, 1.5 million a year to have BB&K sitting there, and their one fucking job in life is to make sure that the council and the mayor go by the charter, don't violate the
That's
charter,
it.
don't violate the law. There, that's what she's there for, to like literally caution them, wait a minute, hold on, you can't do that, and here's why. And that's her job. That is her one damn job. And she sat there and said absolutely nothing when John tried to rewrite the charter, when the city council members came up with these crappy ass, motions that didn't make any sense. And none of it. She didn't stop any of it. She just allowed them to go further down the goddamn rabbit hole. Like, why is she there?
And here's what, and here's the other thing that bothered me. So Sandra said this. She said, "Hey, look, we've got these people with claims and they're whistleblowers." And she said, No. You're not, we're not looking at these positions for the people that are in them. We're looking at them as just like they're the whole." And I'm like, "Dude, but what the hell are you talking about? Because you literally have two people in these positions that as you're trying to shift and move these budgets, you're
Oh, but
affecting."
this is when she
So what
should
do you
have
mean
said,
that one is not
this
the
is exactly when she should have said. And when she said that spiel, what she should have also said is, and by the way, I would caution you as to what you're going to do with these employees, because in either scenario, you're co-signing the mayor's bullshit and they will effectively be fired.
Yep.
And then they voted
That's right.
and voted for it.
And
All of them,
yeah, and you know, well, no, so well, they all
all of
have
John's people.
all of John's people voted. Sandra voted no to both. I don't at all understand that. Henry switched his vote. It was just, you know what?
Henry's
It just
vote is
shows the
actually in question,
unqualification.
right?
So Henry voted yes to Fred's motion, and then he voted no to Teddy's motion, and then he switched his vote to yes. Or when they questioned him, he didn't respond. So the city clerk recorded what she recorded, and he never brought it up. He just made this weird little smirk, like, okay, you know, and I'm wondering, did John send you guys text messages? Teddy flubbed his thing at the end. He re-amended
Yeah,
his own
hey Tom,
amendments and
about Teddy. I sense that he wants to do the right thing. And I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong. But I sense that he wants to do the right thing, but he just has no fucking clue on earth how to do it. And he just, I don't think he understood his own motion. I definitely don't think he understood Fred's, because Fred was actually, trying to help him with his motion. Either way, they were both bad motions, but whatever. Okay.
I love Fred's motion though. I thought Fred of, you know, if they were gonna do anything, Fred was the most protective of just saying, "Hey, we're gonna let this, we're not moving you guys. You were doing nothing for 3 months, but you're gonna answer. We now we have the chain of command, and you're the city manager will be your chain of command. You're not gonna get any, you're not gonna be bothered by the
I mean,
mayor at this
it's a
point."
better
And
motion,
then
but it's still not, it's not perfect, but it was a better motion. But either way, Teddy was, I think he took it personally, like, oh, we don't like my motion, so fuck him. I don't know. I don't understand. Like, he
That's what, that's exactly, and that's the thing. That's Teddy's consistency, is it's going to be his motion, his way. You're not going to challenge him. And when John did challenge
But
him,
he
he
doesn't, I,
stuttered
but
and
it
he
didn't
didn't know
seem like
what
he
to do
understood
anymore.
his own motion. Like, I don't know. And again, I think that he's trying. He's trying. When I spoke last night, I said, like, one of you needs to be a hero. And to be honest with you, the only one that I really held out hope could possibly be that person to bring something, a policy or some kind of resolution, I honestly believe it would or could be Teddy. None of them else have the balls to do it. and they don't. I'm sorry. Fred, for all his shit talking, he won't do it. Jim, same thing. Either he doesn't know how or he doesn't care to. I don't even know what his problem is. You know, and the rest of them are, you know, John's puppets. But Teddy, there's something I sense where he wants to do the right thing. And I really think that, you know, or I thought last night that, you know, I was like hoping to reach him, and maybe I still have, I don't know, but I still have hope that he will be the one to bring something to the council to hold him, John, accountable. But last night was just a hot mess because, you know, it's just a failure to understand policymaking.
Get, he does that back and forth. He wants one leg in one camp. But I think that's just what happens when you know that the ship is sinking. Like you got one foot on the banana peel and the other foot in the grave, because John's going down, and Henry's doing the same thing, and all of these, it's positioning.
Well, I think that Henry,
so
as well as well, obviously Basine's out, but I think that Henry and who's the other person? He's definitely and Jim, I believe, probably is going to lose his position too. But I think that definitely Henry is going to lose in November. And, you know, he probably sees the writing on the wall. So I don't know. Maybe he's like scorched earthing it. I don't know. I can never for the life of me understand Henry, because he's such a flip flopper and he's such a wuss and yeah, whatever. But I think that if there is to be any kind of motion made as to the accountability factor, it will probably be Teddy. And I wish that he could get it together and get help from somebody on how to appropriately make motions, articulate what he wants to say, and bring a written policy forward to do these things, right? He can't do it by himself because he's just not, he's too green. But you know what? They brought the issue to the meeting and then they fucked it up because.
Well, and can we ask why nobody mentioned that John shouldn't even be a part of this conversation at all, given that his staff has come out with claims against him that they claim that he was trying to retaliate and they still let him put his input into his staff and what should happen to them? Like,
so that's the other thing. Talk about one single council person said, "Mayor, you need to recuse yourself." Because he should have recused himself. He should not have been in that conversation.
No, and where in the world was the HR director and Terry during that conversation saying, "Hey, guys, you're the policy people. You deal with the budget. And now you're trying to talk about reclassifications. That's not your area. And we need to, if this is something you're thinking about," which wasn't on the agenda.
It's really problematic because even though the names were not mentioned, we know which two employees they were talking about, Don Smith and Matt Brown. And so when you do an open session personnel, and really in essence what happened is because once they voted and approved the positions going to the city manager, and I called her a bitch on social media, and I'm going to say it here too, that bitch had the audacity to wait until they voted to say, "Oh, and by the way, I can't use any of those two fuckers." Okay. So what you just did is you all just fired them in public.
Yep.
On the record for everyone to see, which is a violation of one, their confidentiality, and two, it's retaliation. Yep. You just helped John get rid of his problem. Like what? Like this is the incompetence and the stupidity that we're dealing with. And I'm talking about every single council member. Like, are all of them this stupid? And the answer is yes. Today I can say it. They are. You saw it.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Yep. Okay. Nope. Hey, I'm just glad someone else is saying it.
They all are. All of them. Like, not one of them. Yep. Not one single one of them was like, "Wait a minute, hold on. Let's rethink this."
And you know what they do? They all blame each other. Well, so-and-so did. And I'm like, hey, dude, you have, you know what? They have no sense of accountability. And the fact that you don't, this is what we keep saying, you guys. Silence is just as bad as helping. Sitting there knowing that these things are going to happen, knowing that this is all in it, that the whole plan was to retaliate, and being quiet and voting no in both instances is just being complacent. And if you don't, even worse is if you don't understand the conversation and you didn't ask a single question, you didn't say, hey, this doesn't sound like something we're supposed to be doing. Even if the city manager doesn't speak up, which, you know, she got a $70,000 payoff and a pension bump to keep her mouth shut. You know, and you've got an article telling us that BB&K has a history of helping city council members and mayors through illegal activities, and that it's not beneficial for them to at all try and curve the behavior, because then they'll be fired. What do you guys think is going to happen? Like, that's why I told the council, are you giving direction, or are you being directed? And are you holding people accountable, or are you just not accountable? And this is it. We don't have but 18 months left before this city goes broke. If not before, if these claims, I think the one thing the city's probably happy about is the courts are closed right now, because these things are going to move swiftly. They're going to get expensive. And you're going to watch all these guys walk away.
It's just, and you know, it's just so sad, because I mean, we're watching it happen. It's happening right before everyone's eyes. And I mean, you can't make this shit up. Like, it's not even, I don't know. Like, do these, none of them, look, Fred Charette has been there the longest out of any of them. This is his, what, fourth term? Like, why the fuck does he not know how to be a policymaker? Why? What's wrong with him? And you know, the most educated one by far up there is Jim Overhill. But he's completely fucking clueless. Like, what is wrong with these people? It just, like, a little bit of critical thinking skill, just not even a lot, just a tiny bit of it. And we have a game. But they all jump on the stupid train together and just go. You know, it's like, wow. I've often said, and I still kind of think, that the city council of San Bernardino is cursed, because it doesn't really seem to matter who's sitting on the dais. It's like your fucking brain turns into mush when you're up there and you have no clue what to, because I've never seen a council be so dysfunctional for so many decades by so many different people. Just crazy.
That's because they know how. Well, but there is no incentive in the city to do it right. As a kid, what do you get to by doing it right? You don't get your payouts, you don't get your campaign contributions. People, if you're too educated, they think it's a bad thing. If you know what you're talking about, then they want to know if you were in a damn parade. Like, think about what benefit there is. And we have a university, we have hospitals, you have city managers that live in San Bernardino who city manage in other cities that don't want to work here. You have extremely educated and smart people who don't want to get involved in the city politics.
But
so it's not, I think what people need to understand is that the writing is on the wall as far as the expectation of the voters.
I mean,
well, but if you show up and eat tacos and take pictures, we love you. Regardless of if you can't ask a question or put a sentence together or vote for something on the dais. I mean, what level are we doing? Like, that's the sad part. But I will use this caveat in that seeing the election of Kim Calvin gives me hope that as people finally get to that level, like with Basine, of like, look, you know what, you may have showed up and we've taken pictures with you and had some tacos, you still didn't do anything, and that caught up with Basine in four years. That level of service that I see in other council members caught up with them in their reelection. Because it's not cute when you still can't get anything done. It doesn't matter. And now with the COVID virus, we all aren't meeting. You don't get your picture taken. You don't even get to eat the tacos. The only place we get to see what you're doing is on that dais now. And that's all of them. They just now your proof's in the pudding. Because you got
to eat. Well, I will tell you that it's frustrating as I'll get out to watch. It's frustrating to see it happening. It's frustrating that there's no accountability for the mayor. I really feel bad for this city because, you know, we're stuck with this piece of shit.
I hear more calls for the recall. And I think, you know, what I want to tell the residents is it's a big undertaking, you guys. It's huge. But I know we can do it. But you guys got to want it. And there's still those people. We're watching all this stuff come out that want to see the investigation completed and want to see the proof. Well, if that's where you're at, then you're going to be down. John Valdivia will remain mayor for another 3 years because it's going to take time to go to court and do all this stuff. So people needed to start deciding now whether if everything they've seen is enough.
And what is it going to take for this?
Or not. And
complacent and... you know, mediocrity accepting populace of San Bernardino, apathetic as all get out. What is it going to take for these people?
I hope we don't find that out. What I hope is that enough people now are awake and just like, look, if you don't want this guy, the council's not going to do it for you. He still has four votes till November. And in the interim, they are to like last night, they just added another umpteenth amount to that lawsuit that you will pay for, taxpayers. And don't forget, they're also coming for Measure Z, which is nothing more than a pension tax to pay for all the raises they gave themselves last year. So there's a lot to consider in the leadership, but there is a group of people that still care. Like I hope people understand that. We wouldn't be out here and putting this much time and effort if we didn't care. A lot of people have quit and moved. They'll show you like, all right, whatever, you guys are on your own. And we're still here. Cause it hurts. It sucks. Like sometimes I just sit here and I get calls from people like, just get out of there. Why are you wasting your time? Well, you and Leticia, what you look at what people say. And it's like, you know what though? Because I want it if it does ever come to the end, that I knew I did everything possible for my city that I love very much, because you don't have to grow up here to love San Bernardino. When I go to my hometown and I feel the nostalgia and I have all my memories, and then I come home to San Bernardino, I understand what that feels like for other people who look at the high school, who go drive down East Street, who drive by the Carousel Mall and remember when. Like that doesn't take a lifetime. It doesn't take a lifetime to see how bad things are either, and how they have not been fixed. There are no solutions in place.
I don't necessarily love San Bernardino, because ever since I've lived here, there has been nothing but problems in this city. I'm trying to raise two kids in this city and there's nothing for them here. I mean, I've been hugely disappointed by the city, but come on, people. Your mayor cannot go any lower than having sex in the back of a vehicle on city time driven by a city employee. What in the world more does he need to do for people to see that he needs to go and that the council needs to do something? And I don't know if that means to lobby the legislators to create a law that forces a mayor out of office whenever these kinds of things occur, but do something. I don't know if it's going to like get approved, but at least ask for it. Put something on the ballot to change the charter. produce a policy to amend the municipal code that says you, as an elected official, cannot have sex in the back of a city car. Do something. But they won't. And they haven't. And it's right. That's just, there's like, it's not just one, it's not just two, it's all of them. They're all completely incompetent. There, I said it. And yet, and yes, yeah. I called the city manager a bitch.
And just
so you- and you know what? BB and K should be fired.
I agree. I think, you know what, the writing's on the wall for the city manager with this recruitment going out. She's not gonna stay here past her 1 year. I don't think so at all. She's gonna cut. She got her bump. Screw the city and move out to Idaho. So, I'm just extremely, mm-hmm. extremely disappointed by what we're seeing. But in all of this, you guys, what I don't want you to forget that there are two elections still going on right now in the 7th and the 5th ward. Ben we're Reynoso back. Is still running against Henry. Damon Alexander is still running against Jim Moldahill. And this is still deciding on the council. And I know you guys are reaching out in the 7th ward and saying, hey, who do you like and what? You need to challenge both of these guys and ask them. You did. You very much did. And that's necessary, but everybody needs to do it. It's not for us to tell you who to vote for. I know who I support. And if I'm out there walking, you guys know that that's who I'm supporting.
Except for Ben.
But it's about policy. Yeah, go Ben. You guys know I'm supporting Ben.
I have to say, I would never. You know, I had a conversation with Damon after the meeting. Okay, this is like really funny because after the meeting, we're outside and we're getting ready to leave. And, you know, we run into Damon and we're having a conversation with him. And I did. And I asked him, what is the role of a council person? And he responded correctly. The role of a council person is to make policy. We're the policymakers. Okay, yes. So as you can see, I've been bitching and complaining the whole time about the lack of policymaking happening from our policymakers. So that was a good answer. He got a point from me. So I'm going to have a further conversation with him. But in this conversation, when we're standing around, this random weirdo who was at the council meeting walks up to us and barges in on our conversation and proceeds to start using really offensive language concerning the LGBTQ community, of which I am a full-on fucking ally. Like, you are not going to get away with that shit with me standing there. So he said something and I like went to town on him. So folks, I literally could have throat punched him and been arrested last night. But I want to let my LGBTQ peeps know I got you. Okay. Because, right?
Absolutely.
How horrifying.
No, you didn't. You know, and this is, I think for you guys that watched the meeting, this is that guy that got up there and was talking about like Cleopatra and then started yelling all those things in the meeting. Like, he's unstable. And I think this has been an issue in the 7th Ward that Jim Moldahill and Damon need to address because there's a lot of.
I would say that I don't feel safe, but
yeah, he's
sure
brandished a weapon. You know, but I know. You're gangster and like we would have throw down with this guy, but there are also residents that he lives across the street from. He's been outside of his house that I've heard seen the reports brandishing a weapon. Last night he threatened to stab us while he's screaming down and this can't be okay. And I think the PD. Yeah, that's what I want to know. Like, if he comes to our meetings, how come he wasn't escorted out, like, all the way to make sure he leaves? Because he was calling the police officer some really heinous stuff.
Yeah, the guy was totally nuts and whatever. But the police really need to get on him if that's what he's doing. Because I know, like, coming into our conversation and just having him there for just, like, a hot second, I literally could have, like, I could have gone there with him because... I was like, what the hell? Like, are you kidding me? Get the fuck out of our conversation. Go away.
I think I want to just gold star you right there for all of the restraint that you held being in public.
But, you know, I haven't spoken at the council for a long time. And even Tim was like, what made you decide to go? And I'm like, one, I can go because I don't, you know, the kids are not doing a million things and I had some time to do it. But two, I'm just really fed up. I don't know. Obviously, the council doesn't listen to us when we tell them anything. But, you know, you still feel like you have to try at least, and you know, go up there and speak your piece and let them know that, you know, we are paying attention. And I don't think it's just us paying attention, because, you know, as evidenced by the fact that so many people reach out and so many people respond to what we're doing, in a positive way. You know, everybody doesn't appreciate it, but that's on them. You know, I mean, we're gonna have to keep doing it, because somebody has to be the voice of reason.
And here's the deal. Like, I know I have people go, like, you know, when you get up there, they roll their eyes, or John doesn't pay attention. He does. And it's like, look, these people know what they're doing. And so when I'm getting up and they're talking, while they may not look, boy, do they hear me. But even more importantly, the people who aren't on Facebook, the thousands of residents who watch Channel 3 or are live streaming it from school, from work, from home, whatever, they hear it. And that's the important part, guys, is the reach has to be further than the phone. It has to, you have to start getting out to more people. And the more people hear things, the more they understand what's going on. You can't just say it once or twice, three times. That's why it's repetitive about making sure we don't let John's shit slide and just go under the rug like they're trying, because it hurts
Yes,
us.
well, with that said, we are at a stopping point for today, and you know, just stay tuned. There's just so much more to come. We're not going to stop. We're going to keep on, and we're going to keep on requesting stuff from the city, and we're going to keep on holding people accountable. So, until next time, guys, let's keep it real, right, Treasure? Next
That's
time.
it. All right. Bye, San Bernardino.